But I just want us to turn to God's Word, to Psalm 67, just to think on a few minutes. If you wanted a psalm which speaks about world missions, Psalm 67 is the psalm to go to. I don't think any psalm captures the vision of world missions more than Psalm 67, and it expresses the psalmist's desire, or I guess we should say God's desire, that all the peoples would praise Him. So let's read Psalm 67 together. May God be gracious to us and bless us, and make His face shine on us, so that Your ways may be known on earth, Your salvation among all nations. May the peoples praise You, God. May all the peoples praise You. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for You rule the peoples with equity and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise You, God. May all the peoples praise You. The land yields its harvest. God, our God, blesses us. May God bless us still, so that all the ends of the earth will fear Him. We thank the Lord for His word. And I want you to see, first of all, there we have a prayer for God's blessing in verses 1 and 2. The psalmist there prays that the Lord would bless His people, and he uses words which you may be familiar with. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make His face to shine on us. I'm sure in the psalmist's mind was the priestly prayer that we read of in Numbers, where it says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. We're reminded, aren't we, there in those words, that the Lord's blessing upon His people is dependent on His grace. That the Lord is gracious towards us. That He treats us with a favor that we don't deserve. That the Lord would be gracious to us. I understand that when you went before a monarch in the ancient Middle East, one of the things you would do is look at the monarch's face. And if, as you were approaching, the monarch smiled, you knew it was safe to approach. If he didn't smile, you made a quick exit because you knew you were in trouble. Well, the psalmist prays that the Lord's face would shine upon His people. Well, as God's people, we know the certainty of His blessing, don't we? We know what it is to be accepted into God's presence, that His face shines upon us, to enjoy His favor, not because of anything that is in ourselves, anything that we have done, but because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. We are accepted and we have peace with God because and only because of the Lord Jesus and His work on the cross, the glorious message of the gospel that we proclaim to a needy world. Because I want you to notice there's a reason why God blesses His people, and it's in verse 2, so that Your ways may be known on earth, Your salvation among all nations. You see, God has not blessed us so that we might keep the blessing to ourselves. No, that blessing is given so that the Lord's ways might be known upon earth. I'm reminded here of the promise that God gave to Abraham back in Genesis chapter 12, where God called Abraham and He gave him some precious promises, and one of those promises was that all peoples on earth would be blessed through him, through Abraham's seed. This was God's intention from the very beginning for Israel. And when God brought that people out of Egypt, when He delivered them, He rescued them and brought them before Him at Mount Sinai, He commissioned them to be a kingdom of priests, to be a holy nation. Exodus chapter 19. And verse 6, the priest's role, of course, was to be a mediator, wasn't it? A mediator between God, a holy God, and a sinful people. Well, if you've got a kingdom of priests, then you can understand that as being the whole nation of Israel was to be, as it would have a mediatorial role between These nations on the one hand and God on the other. And they would do that by being a holy nation. That's how they would carry out their role. As a holy nation, they would be blessed by God. The nations would see and would want to come and find out about their God, this God who blesses Israel. Well, that's what was supposed to happen. But as we read through our Old Testaments, we know that Israel failed in that mission, that commission of God, because they failed to be a holy people. They went after the gods of the nations. The Lord's blessing was not upon them. And so the nations didn't come as they should have to find out about God. We have that story, don't we, of Jonah, who God commands to go and preach to Nineveh. Nineveh, the capital of Assyria. And instead we see Jonah going in the opposite direction, wanting to run away from God. And we have a sense there of this disobedient prophet of Israel, an illustration of what Israel was like. But now that mission has passed to us, God's people, the church. And God has not blessed us so that we keep that blessing to ourselves. He's commissioned us to go and make disciples of every nation, to make his blessing known everywhere. So we have a prayer for God's blessing. And secondly, I want you to see we have a prayer for God's kingdom. In verse 4 and onwards in this psalm here, the psalmist's prayer is that God's kingdom will be established in every nation on the earth. May all the nations be glad, he says, and the ends of the earth fear him. God's kingdom, it said, is wherever God reigns. And the psalmist's prayer here is that God would be known, he would be feared, he would reign everywhere on earth. That's a huge prayer. And in a sense, it's the polar opposite of Jonah. Jonah's idea was to keep the blessings of God within the boundaries of the nation of Israel. The psalmist's prayer is God's blessing would overflow to the nations. He has a true missionary vision. And Matthew Henry, in his commentary on this, points out that the psalmist here is being carried along by a spirit of prophecy to foretell the glorious estate of the Christian church, in which Jews and Gentiles will unite as one flock. He's looking ahead. He's looking ahead to our day. Our day. Well, how is this to apply to ourselves? Well, first of all, of course, we can be thankful to the Lord for his abundant grace towards us. We must ever be thankful as God's people. We must remember we are in this position, this favored position, because of what the Lord Jesus has done for us. And we can be thankful and grateful for that. But how are we to respond to that? Is that blessing that we enjoy something that we keep for ourselves? Or does it create in us a desire to want others to experience that blessing too? I guess if I'm being very honest and look into my own heart, I perhaps see something of the attitude of Jonah. Too much, perhaps, of the attitude of Jonah and not enough of the attitude of the psalmist. Perhaps I know in my head that this gospel must be spread, but am I willing to go? Am I willing to be obedient? Am I willing to take that gospel to those who are needy, even within my own family or my neighbours and friends, my colleagues, and so on? Do I see the need in the world around me? Am I willing to take God's love to those who are downcast, those who are marginalised in society. Well, this evening, in a moment, we're going to see how our partners in Eastern Europe are doing that, who are taking the gospel to a marginalized people in Europe. But we end with this prayer, the prayer of the psalmist there, and he repeats it twice, doesn't he? May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. Is that our prayer? Is that our desire this evening?